Thanks, Pete. Could always do with more energy, then. You will know that in life there can be many different things that motivate us, can't there? Some of them are positive motivations, some of them less so. Sometimes we're motivated by a desire to help others, to save the environment or some other worthwhile cause, or simply motivated just to make a difference. Sometimes we're motivated by peer pressure, perhaps to do something we'd rather not. Or motivated by money or lack of money. Maybe sometimes we're motivated by fear. There can be a whole range of motivations for the things that we do. As we remembered earlier around this table, Jesus allowed himself to suffer a truly horrendous death on a cross. I mean, crucifixion is regarded as one of the most awful ways to kill someone. An awful way to die. In fact, it doesn't get much worse. Yet Jesus chose to suffer that death. What on earth motivated him to do that? Because the fact that he did, and then 3 days later was resurrected from being dead, gives us these incredible, these amazing resurrection realities that we've been exploring in recent weeks, and have a few more still to go. But why do it? What was his motivation? Jesus doing what he did leads us to know that, as Evie read in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Something motivated Jesus to do what he did so that we have this resurrection reality of being completely forgiven of everything that we have ever done wrong, of whatever we are doing wrong now, and everything that we will ever do wrong in the future. That's pretty amazing, really. And something that we should all be very grateful for. Of all the resurrection realities that we'll be looking at, thank God, thank Jesus, that we have redemption through his blood, and that we have forgiveness of our sins, the stuff we do wrong, because of the riches of his grace. But back to that question I keep asking. What did motivate Jesus to do what he did? You know, I think the answer is simple. Really simple. He was motivated by love. He loves us. So he gave everything for us. He wanted good things for us, so he gave us all he had, so that we could get the redemption and the forgiveness, that grace, and so much more. And when we talk about this word redemption in the context of Christianity, we're talking about being saved from evil, being saved from a punishment that we would otherwise have. When you redeem something, you buy it back. Jesus paid what we should have by dying when we should have. It can be easy to forget with all that's going on in our lives, in our own lives, in the world around us, just how amazing Jesus really is. He gave up everything so that we, friends can have it all. He really was motivated by love. The thing is, every single one of us makes mistakes, does or say things that we regret. Don't kid yourself that you don't. You do. Sometimes we do things which might even send us into an endless spiral of guilt and regret. That's horrible to have to live with. Yet God says we don't have to. He says the resurrection reality of being completely forgiven means we don't have to do that. That each day we can have a fresh start with him in life because of Jesus. What we're powerless to fix, God can do for us, and we need to realize that. God's love for us means that whatever we do, however that makes us feel, God doesn't see us the way sometimes we do. He sees you and me as his beloved child. You are God's beloved child. He sees you as one fully cloaked in the riches of his grace. When Jesus died on the cross, he died knowing the mistakes that you and I were going to make. Nothing we do ever surprises him. Yet he still chose to go through that horrendous death. There really can be only one explanation for him doing that. Only one motivation for him doing that. His incredible love for us. And as we rest in the resurrection reality of his complete forgiveness because of his love for us, we know that we can always turn to him when we feel that gnawing sense of guilt and regret welling up within us because of something that we've done, that we can take it to him, everything, and he will take it upon himself, everything, because he already has. The next time you look at yourself in the mirror, try to see yourself in the way that God sees you, as his child, as one who is completely forgiven. It is truly an amazing resurrection reality that God forgives us when we get things wrong, when we hurt him, when we hurt others, when we hurt ourselves. However, because of God being willing to do that for us, to forgive us, there is also an onus on us too, to forgive others. And that is made very clear in the Bible. Matthew 6, verses 14 to 15 say, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Mark 11, 25. "When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." And of course, we acknowledge this when we pray the Lord's Prayer. What do we say? "Forgive us our sins," or trespasses, if you like the older version. "Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us." Do we, though? Is it just words that we say? Or do we really mean those words when we say them? And do we act upon them? You know, there's often debate about what those verses in Matthew 6 and Mark 11 are really saying. Are they really saying that if you choose not to forgive someone, God will turn against you and not forgive you? The thing is, we know we cannot earn our way into heaven. We know it's not about works or things that we do, other than choosing to believe in and choosing to follow Jesus. The idea of forgiveness mentioned in Matthew 6 and Mark 11 are more about fellowship with God than justification. We will want to forgive others because God has forgiven us and we are in fellowship with him. But it does mean we have to do it. We need to be people who forgive others when they sin against us. They may come to us and they may ask for forgiveness. How can we not give it? But you know what I think is the hardest thing about forgiving others? It's when we forgive them, even though they haven't asked to be forgiven. Maybe they don't even think they should ask because they don't think that they've done anything wrong. It's hard to forgive in that circumstance. I realize that. I know that. But at the end of the day, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, then we are the ones who tend to suffer the most. We hang on to the hurt. We hang on to the bitterness. We hang on to the anger. Whilst the one who we need to forgive goes on about their life without any idea or any concern about how we're feeling. I discovered a great book about this years ago, this book by R.T. Kendall called Total Forgiveness, which taught me to forgive someone even when they hadn't asked to be forgiven. That then allowed me to be released from the hurt, the bitterness, and the anger that I was harboring and which was eating me up. It's a book, copies of which I have given to many people over the years in ministry to help them do the same, including people at this church. Too often, I hear people tell me how they're hurting because of something done to them, but that sometimes the offender knows that they've hurt someone, but doesn't take any responsibility for that hurt. As hard as it is, and it is hard, still the best thing that we can do is forgive the offender in the context of knowing that we ourselves are completely forgiven by God for what we've done. By doing this, we aren't saying the offender was right. We aren't saying that the hurts aren't real. But we are letting go of bitterness and anger, which if held on to, do us no good whatsoever. The resurrection reality of being completely forgiven is really good for our own well-being. We will feel better if we choose to receive the forgiveness that God offers us and allow him to take away those feelings of guilt and regret that we might have over something we've done. We will also feel better if we choose to forgive others, even if they haven't asked us to, so that we are no longer eaten up with bitterness and anger because of the hurt that we feel that someone has caused us. Knowing we are completely forgiven destroys the power of sin in your life. But it's down to you to make the choices that will ultimately be best for your well-being. And that's only possible because of the resurrection of Jesus. But sometimes we might need some help and some encouragement to do that. And I'm conscious that I might be speaking to someone here this morning who knows that they've done something wrong. They're feeling guilty, they're feeling full of regret, and they need to recognize and accept that complete forgiveness from God. I also recognize I might be speaking to someone here this morning who feels hurt by something that someone has said or done to them. And they know, you know, you need to forgive them, even if they haven't asked you. Or else you won't be able to fully move on with your life. You won't be able to fully move on and take the step into whatever God is calling you into, because you're harboring that bitterness and anger. I'll tell you what's going to happen now. Some of us who are going to come and sit on the front pew here, and that we are going to do so that you may come and be prayed with and prayed for over whatever forgiveness scenario you are facing, whether you need forgiveness from God or whether you need to forgive someone. And I don't want this just to be a little exercise that we've stuck on the end of the service. I expect there are many of you in one of those two camps, if not both. So there are others. I see there's a couple of folk here from the pastoral care team. Maybe they might be able to come forward if numbers are that big. But wherever, whether at the front here or on a side, if you'd rather, let's be about the business of working with God. The cross that the wonder of the cross that we remembered earlier is real, folks. We can be forgiven and we can forgive. So in a moment, Pete and the band will get back up and sing the final song. I invite you, if you want prayer, to come to the front. So there's myself, there's Hannah, there's Joe, Fee's going to join us. Maybe a couple of us will be at the front here, a couple of us on the side there. Come and be prayed for, be prayed with. Let me pray now for all of us. Father, we sung about the wonder of the cross. There are many wonders of the cross. But one truly amazing wonder of the cross is that we can be completely forgiven. Because, Lord, we know that we are going to stuff up over and over again, but you forgive us. But Lord, help us to be people also who forgive. Out of that complete forgiveness for us, Lord, help us to forgive others, even if they haven't asked for it, that we may know release from bitterness and anger in our lives. So, Father, I truly ask you to stir hearts this morning. Lord, if there's no one left singing because they're all wanting prayer, may that be the case. Lord, let us be about your business now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I invite the band to come forward. Right, Hannah and Joe. Maybe.